In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Good morning on this Monday morning. Thank you for joining us on Word for Life. This is a very special week. In Spanish, we call it Semana Santa. But this is the week that we read about at the end of each of the Gospels as Jesus has entered Jerusalem and he is making his way toward Thursday and Friday for the crucifixion, paying for our sins. And then less than 1 week from now, we celebrate Resurrection Day. I call it the Christian Super Bowl, but it is the glorious day when Jesus obviously declared to be the Son of God with power and might. And so very special week. I hope it's a time that you will take reflecting on all of this each day of this week in your own life. We are looking in the book of Revelation at the seven churches in chapter 2 and 3. But I just want to remind you that this Sunday at Brookside, we have very special morning services on Easter, 9 o'clock and 10:30, a little adjusted time on the second service from normal, but 9 o'clock and 10:30. There's a breakfast that is being put on that day for those who attend. It's a fundraiser for our teen mission trip this summer. But come and join us. We know that all churches are going to be celebrating this, but same here at Brookside. But Pastor Ken, talk to us about this church at Thyatira.
Well, one thing that's interesting is that Jesus, after he commends them for several outstanding qualities and characteristics that were that they were doing within the church, he goes to what he had against them, and that you have this woman. Now, whether her name was Jezebel or she was a type of Jezebel, they have this woman who was a prophetess there in the church, and she was teaching, and she was bringing together this whole aspect of immorality and idolatry, and it was really taking its effect on the church. And so this prophetess, as Jezebel, had combined, you know, successfully worship with immorality. This idolatry and had actually brought them into a position of compromise.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, compromise here led to the tolerance, which led to outright sin in the church, just like it did there with the first church at Corinth. That's the picture, though, of the church at Thyatira, and really also of Pergamos. And, my friend, not just these seven churches that he deals with, but churches of all generations have had to battle these type of situations. You had believers there in Thyatira and Pergamos that were being commended, but still the churches were dying a slow death. And usually you'll see doctrinal and moral compromise is always a danger to the health, the vitality, the survival of any church. Remember, the way to spiritual power and favor with God is to be willing to put away the weak compromises and the tempting evils to which we're prone to cling.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to what A.W. Tozier, that wonderful pastor and author, said, and I quote, he said, "It appears that too many Christians want to enjoy the thrill of feeling right, but are not willing to endure the inconvenience of being right." Just like you see in Psalms, Selah, meaning think about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like the frog in the kettle. The church today is being boiled to death in cultural compromise without even a struggle. All that we need to do is to acknowledge the great emphasis today on self-absorption, materialism, and immorality. This Jezebel-like figure in the church had made her mark, and she was destroying not only the testimony of the church, but the individual testimonies of the lives of these believers. Let me ask, is there anyone like that in your life? Let me give you five dangers of a Jezebel. She called herself, we're told, a prophetess. She claims and believes she's speaking for God. That gets more people in trouble when they're listening to someone who says, I have a message from God, and it's outside of the Bible.
Yeah.
It's one thing if you have a message and here's what God's word says. It's a whole other thing. Hey, God appeared to me. And what happens is, we talked about this all through our studies of 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, that experience trumps the Bible. And that's always going to be a big problem. And that's what she was doing. Whenever someone truly wants to deceive or undermine the authority of God, whether it's on TV or on radio, they claim to have this special revelation from God. And most of their revelation, to be frankly honest with you, is absolutely ridiculous. So she called herself a prophetess. She teaches and seduces believers in two areas. I mean, this is what Jesus is saying here. John MacArthur makes this interesting point, and I quote, that the church was already compromising by allowing a woman to take the position of authority and teach in the assembly of men and women. I mean, that is a violation of 1 Timothy 2:12, where Paul clearly commanded women not to teach or to have authority over a man. And the two areas that she promoted included sexual immorality and food sacrificed to idols. So if we go back to Thyatira, there were tradesmen that belonged to a guild, or you could say a union at that time. And each union or guild had its own god to which they looked to for help. At various times in the year, they would have a big banquet. And everyone in the guild or that union was expected to be there. That is, if you wanted to keep your job. The banquet included food and meat from the sacrifice they offered to their god. It was accompanied by just this terrible sexual cesspool of immorality. And Jezebel, this Jezebel-like figure, endorsed it and claimed it was actually acceptable before God. And because of that teaching, some Christians were totally corrupted by what went on at these banquets. You know, the kids used to sing that song, "Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see, your hands, what you touch." They needed that reminder. Listen, we can be compromised today in our culture because of sexual immorality and various idols. The solution to cultural compromise is a focused commitment to the glory of God. Just as the Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth there in 1 Corinthians 10. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So he includes our eating or drinking, which that was the issue they were having with when they would go to these big banquets. Is all you're doing, my friend, in your life truly glorifying to God? My father, who pastored for about 50 years, used to remind me all the time about the principle of do all. He'd say, Ken, you need to do all, everything, do all for the glory of God. And that stayed with me. Is this honoring to God or is it not? I have to answer that question. And we believe in individual soul liberty. I'm going to give an account for myself. That might, you might think different on an issue or something, but I have to look, is this in my heart honoring or not to God? So this Jezebel type figure has called herself a prophetess. She teaches and seduces believers. You're fine going to the party. You can get involved. And then thirdly, she is guilty herself of sexual immorality. And I got to say, most proponents of this type of teaching are also personally involved in sexual misconduct. You see it all the time with these televangelists or big name, you know, cult leaders or whatever they might be. And they're just so involved immorally that, hey, it was back in that day, too. And he's saying she herself was involved in sexual immorality. And then verse 21, I think, is very enlightening. She is unrepentant. This woman would not repent of her immorality, for every human being knows that the sexual euphoria was so great that the thought of living without that narcotic was unthinkable. It was unthinkable to her. It's unthinkable to so many today. She couldn't bring herself to repent. Like someone who fell into sexual immorality and adultery and said, well, I'll have my pleasure today and deal with the devil tomorrow. She also not only was unrepentant, she was involved in cultic practices with satanic influence. I mean, you talk about red lights going off, danger, danger. Here it was. The problem was that no one called her out for her sin. We said it before. The church put up with what it should have put out. Should have put her out quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I just marvel at the accurate description Jesus gives of their justification for this sinful sexuality and heretical teaching. Notice in verse 24 here of chapter 2, Jesus exposed this lifestyle as coming from, get this now, that phrase, the depths of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is not afraid to say what he thinks. He says this evil is satanic. Are you and I willing to call evil what it is, evil, or are we willing to sit there and watch it on the tube and think it's not going to impact or affect us?
Mm-hmm.
To be immoral and still try to be a part of the church is a lie from the father of lies. Well, pretty strong statement about this prophetess, Jezebel, but then we find in verses 22 and 23 the explanation of God's judgment. He's going to say, repent from sin before it's too late. Why don't you read verses 22 and 23 for us there, Pastor Mark?
Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of her deeds. And I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your deeds.
Well, either this is going to be a comforting or a terrifying passage of Scripture.
Yeah.
Because here Christ is announcing a severe future, not only for the Jezebel-like woman, but also for those who pattern their thinking and their behavior after her. Those who belong to Jesus, I mean, can fall into these types of sins, but they're going to repent, they're going to turn from that sin. Can they still suffer consequences? Absolutely. But they're not going to live in that sin. And those who do not stay faithful to Jesus and who will not repent, this is the warning. Those who refuse to repent identify themselves right along as Jezebel's children rather than God's children. And Jesus promises, get this, great tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
He's not speaking here of the 7 years of tribulation that's coming. He's speaking of the trials like that of sickness, financial distress, and eventual death to the children of Jezebel. The judgment of God is to bring believers to repentance. Did you pick up that phrase in verse 23? And all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. In other words, the church can become an example of God's displeasure. Believers can find themselves under God's chastening hand, and they will be an example. And so, friends, may our example be of Christ's likeness and honoring God. And let's, as we go through this day, be honoring our Lord and our God.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer, or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.